I learned a long time ago that I need all the help I can get when it comes to preaching. So I am swinging with the big hitters today. I got 20 kids, and we're going to talk about them in just a little bit. Okay, kids, I want you to get about this close. Not so close that your parents will get nervous, but close enough that they can just look at you, okay? Great, great. Now, let me say a few things about the kids. These are not actors. These are real kids. They are not adults, still dressed up as kids for Halloween. These are kids. They are your kids. They're your kids. They're not all the kids in this church. I limited it to 20. I would like to have put all of them up here. But because I'm as long-winded as I am, 20 is as many as we can handle. So I want to say this to you. This part's cute. This is cute. It doesn't get better than this. These are good-looking kids. But I'm about to get shocking with you. I hope that you will be able to find the balance between the reality of your circumstances, because these kids are yours. The purpose in preaching this is to help you feel the weight of the responsibility and how challenging the environment is and how real the impact can be on your kids. They also represent all of the other kids in this community. So there are hundreds of them. And everything that impacts these kids impacts those kids. Everything that impacts those kids impacts these kids. They all have the same decisions to make. And so that's where you find the balance between doing everything you can at home and ministries within this church to the church kids because of their fights, the realities. It's also a reason for you to take seriously your call, your responsibility to the kids whose parents are not in church this weekend. And not only not in church this weekend, but they don't make it a practice to ever go. So, let's make it easy at the beginning. These kids are going to show us the odds, some stats. But this part is real easy. 20 kids. How many of them do you think have eternal souls? 20 for 20. Y'all get to stand for that one, okay? How many of these kids do you think need spiritual champions at home? They need dad and moms who are going to model in front of them. We just saw it up here, people committing. How many? 20 out of 20. You ready for that? You bet. 20 for 20. How many of them need a church of those parents, the parents of these kids? How many of these kids need parents who the church will come alongside of and help shape them in their call to bless these kids? How many of them need? All 20. Okay. Now, that's the easy. Let's start getting a little more serious. And in fact, here's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a run at these odds, and you get to vote on which kids get negatively impacted. Okay, so just raise your hand if you think this kid needs to be the one that sets. Okay? And we'll give you one shot. See if you can do that. Don't feel too much pressure here. Do you know that 1 in 6 13-year-olds have begun drinking? 1 in 6 by the time they reach 13. That is, by odds, 3 out of these 20. Now, I'm going to let you pick which 3 of the 20. This one? Any voters? This one? Any voters? Okay, now if you don't help me, I'm going to do this on my own. This one? I see a trend here. This one? Is there any of these 20 kids that you would choose being one of those three who will be drinking by the age of 13? Okay. Do you realize that you do have some impact on that figure? You do have a vote. At the end of the day, the kids make the decision. The spiritual leadership has impact on that. So, let's try this. Okay. You get to stand. You get to stand. Look at me. You get to stand. I would never think it, but you gotta sit down. You both get to stand. You get to stand. Aiden, remember, I've got a grandson by that name. I cannot let you sit down. Judah, I'm sorry. Three out of 20. Now you can raise. You can do better with the average. 17 out of 20 don't. We'll shoot for 20 out of 20. You have to know that you have an impact on that number. Okay, everybody back to their feet. I told you this will get shocking. It'll get more shocking as we go. 50% of the kids by age 15, none of these are 15-year-olds yet, so we can change these stats, but if they just go normal paths, 50% of kids have been exposed to drugs by age 15. 10 out of these 20 exposed to drugs. This is hard to believe, but man, I hate to keep doing this. You get to stand. You get to sit. You get to sit. You get to stand. You get to stand. You get to sit. I need two more. Look at the stage. 10 out of 20. On average, we've got to take some steps to make sure that we change it. But if we just go with the flow, you see it. Okay, everybody back to their feet. This one, all of you get to sit. You know how many kids get exposed to pornography by the age of 8 to 9 on average? 8 to 9 on average. All 20 of you, please sit. That's a scare, isn't it? Some things you can't change. What you have to do is put them in a position to win when those exposures come. You've got to prepare them for the tough days. Okay, everybody back to their feet. Let's do another one here. I want to talk to dads for just a little bit. And you may feel beat up at times, but God's given you a role. God's given dad and moms both equal roles. But to understand the impact and that impact of spiritually minded dads, it is identifiable statistically. Impact of dads on church attendance. If both parents attend regularly, 33% of the kids will attend regularly when they become adults. 41% will attend irregularly. I'd really like for that to change, wouldn't you? That means 75% will stay attached to the church. 25% we've got to work on. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate that in front of you, but here's what I do want to demonstrate. If dad is irregular and mom attends regularly, 3% will attend regularly, statistically. Do you realize that we don't have enough kids up here to find one statistically? 6/10 of what we have up here. 59% will be irregular. 38% will not attend at all. I think that one needs to be demonstrated. Irregular attendance by dad. 4 out of 10, 8 of these. Feel like picking yet? I don't like doing this one. You get to stand. You get to stand. This just isn't right. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. You get to sit. You get to sit. You get to stand. 2, 4, 6. Everybody but her. You sit. Sit, sit, sit. What you see in front of you is if dad doesn't attend, even if mom does, 60% will not attend at all. They will not make it. 12 out of 20. 2, 4, 6, 8. That's what's in front of you. Let me give you one more stat. Okay, everybody back to their feet. So you say, well, that kind of represents all of the unchurched kids as well as the church kids, and so that's not necessarily our kids. Let me give you a shocker. By the time that church kids go to college, statistically, 70% walk away from their faith. Now, about half of those walk back, and I got these statistics from different areas, and that correlates, those two figures correlate coming from two different ends. 7 out of 10, 14 out of the 20 of church kids will step away from the faith. You get to stand. You get to sit. You get to sit. You get to stand. 14 out of 20 will walk away from the faith. Now, you can change that. But if you go with the flow, what you see is what you get. Thank these kids for helping me. They are fantastic help. Thanks, kids. You can head back to your parents if you want to, or whatever arrangements they made if you're going back to the kids' ministry. Yay, raw. Yay, raw. How many of you had kids on this front line? How many of you had your heart stop when you think about either your kids or your grandkids and the realities? I want to tell you, if it wasn't for how fast that clock moves, I would give you some more that would stop your heart. That's enough to lay the basis of this message. This must be a place. This must be a place that blesses kids. It was, I think, by providential care that this message falls on the same date as your baby dedication. That was not intentional on our part. It just happened, and I believe that God put it together. We're already in the frame of mind of realizing the potential of kids and the call of parents and the responsibility of a church to come alongside of those parents. Kids were a priority to Jesus. I can't overstate that. Kids were a priority to Jesus. No scripture more profoundly demonstrates his love for kids than the parallel passages of Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Luke tells the same story in chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. And Mark tells it in chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. That's the passage that we're going to read. Any one of them would work because they all say the same thing in essence. But I want you to look at Mark chapter 10. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples... I can't run that sentence so quickly. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. Now that just sounds odd to me, unacceptable. But it's exactly what happened. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. In the New Living Translation, I think it's in Matthew, it gives clear indication that Jesus did not leave until he had blessed them all. Until he had got to the end of the line, Jesus stayed put. In your notes, Jesus was passionate about kids, and so must we. We've got to be passionate about kids if we're going to be in alignment with him. This is the church of Jesus Christ. He has put us together. Christ is the head of the church. And so since we represent him and his call, we are his body on earth, and what Jesus was impassioned about, then we must be as a church. For this setting, you've got to catch it. The emotions were high. It is among the few scriptures in the New Testament that record Jesus being angry, where he was irritated, frustrated. Not many of those passages, even fewer of them with his friends. But now and then, things just ticked him off. And this is one of those days, and this is one of those circumstances were his best friends, his closest allies, his team, made him mad, ticked him. Jesus was frustrated with their response. Their response to kids grieved him as unfair, unreasonable, unacceptable. When the disciples saw them as, when they saw these kids as a pain, as a nuisance, as a drain on resources, whether it was time or whatever else it might have cost them in that day, the disciples were frustrated by the numbers of kids taking the attention of Jesus. And Jesus said, as long as there is a child around, we will do nothing else. We will go nowhere else until the line clears. In fact, Matthew's account again says, not until they were all blessed did they move on down the line. It would seem safe to say that to Jesus, nothing comes before blessing kids. Does that make sense to you? Nothing comes before blessing kids to Jesus. So an obvious take home from this story is he wants the people helping him to be about blessing kids as well. So if you're going to pursue his passion, when you bring out those rocks next week, you may bring one from the farm. The staff has done a good job in having rocks available. And you come back next week and make a statement. Whoever becomes the pastor, however long Jesus tarries, whoever else comes in alongside of you and sets in these chairs, this must be a place. And I hope there'll be a bunch of you that will sign a rock that says, I'll fight on this hill, and if I have to, I'll die on it. Rock Prairie must be a place that blesses kids. I've got a story to tell you. Crossroads is a sister church to Rock Prairie, and obviously the church that I pastored. I know their history better than I know the history of here, though there are some stories I could tell. But this one is a profound story that you may not know the facts of it. Crossroads was started as Union Separate Baptist Church 1846. Crossroads of what is now 26 and 31, which is where they're back to again. But as in 1846, they spent the next 80 years working on it being a church that reached the community. It was birthed out of a desire for evangelism, reaching the community. 80 years after 1846, and in the throes of the Great Depression, in 1926, hard for me still to believe this, Crossroads died. They turned off the lights, they shut the door, and they walked away and let the fires in the wood stove die out for the last time. 1926. Hard for me to believe. Crossroads died. 3 years later, a little man from Tipton City, Chester Mitchell, the funeral director of one of the mortuaries here in town. Chester Mitchell would drive by on 26 and drive by the old Oakford Church. And it just got to him at the point that he said, this can't be allowed to continue. This has to be resurrected. So Chester Mitchell from Tipton, Indiana, went to work and he called an evangelist from the South. I think he came up from Kentucky. And he said, we're going to give the Holy Spirit a chance to resurrect this church. So they called a revival. The man came and preached it. During that revival, 19 people were saved. 19 kids. Teenagers, I think some of them were preteen. 19 kids. The church has not closed its doors since that day. They realize that there is a rebirth here, a resurrection of this church. They got a pastor in. I think Chester played a role for a period of time. And they started from that point on. Now, that sounds cool, 19 kids. You need to know the Paul Harvey rest of the story. The 19 kids became core to the church that I pastored for 38 years. They kept it going from 1929, or they were a part of their parents. They were a part of the church from 1929 until 1975 when I started pastoring. There are some names that maybe some of you would recognize. The Atkinsons. John Atkinson was one of those 19. John Atkinson was the patriarch of Crossroads. He was a dear friend to me. When John Atkinson spoke, people listened, and they needed to. He played an indispensable role in the foundations of that church when I walked in. At the door, every weekend, making people feel at ease. Ruth Mesh, who became Ruth Guarino. Incredible story about Ruth. The Radabaughs. There were Radabaughs that were there. And the names go on of people that were core to Crossroads when it was still Oakford, when a kid pastor went in to start pastoring. And during my tenure there, for so many of those years until God called them to heaven, God used those kids that revival blessed to, in the long haul, bless Crossroads. So I say that to you. Don't let these 20 kids fool you. Give them a little bit of time. And not just chronologically on the calendar, but give them some time and build them up. And if you will bless these 20 kids and all those that they represent, in the future, there'll be some young pastor walk through here if Jesus tarries. And these will be names that will be core to this church. You invest in these kids, and it will make a difference in the long haul. As important as your decision on who the next pastor is going to be here is your decision. How do you get behind and make the ministries of Rock Prairie work in blessing kids? So let's take a quick look and see what this passage of Scripture teaches us. So since we are called to bless kids, how do we do that? In your notes, we bless our kids by taking every obstacle out of their way. Taking every obstacle out of their way. Do you notice what Jesus said here? In the old King James, it was suffer the little children to come unto me. And this, let. To let somebody come means that they want to. They want to be there if we can make a way for them to get there. These little kids that were blessed by Jesus on that day had it in their heart. Dad and mom played a role, but those kids were unafraid of Jesus. They wanted to come face to face with Jesus. We have to take every obstacle out of their way. What are some of those obstacles to kids? Particularly in this time where there's this sweet spot that they can respond. The first, parents who miss the moment. I doubt if every one of the kids in that community were blessed by Jesus that day. And the only reason why that they missed the blessing is because mom and dad missed the moment. If dad and mom would have taken the kids to Jesus, Jesus wasn't going anywhere. He didn't care what their last name was. He didn't care where they ranked on the continuum of spiritual maturity. He saw the kids and he saw parents who understood, and he was going to encourage the parents and he was going to bless the kids, however many that there were. So the kids that didn't get blessed, dad and mom didn't make the decisions that were most helpful in that time. Parents who miss the moment. Adults who miss the importance of what can happen to kids. These guys have been with Jesus for quite a while by now. They had seen him do some incredibly great things. And when they saw what all he could do, they were looking down the line on who all else that he could do those same things for. And so they were looking down the road and at people who weren't there, at things that might happen, and overlooking the kids that were right in front of Jesus, that had already taken the time and made the effort to be there and wanted to be blessed by Jesus. And leadership missed it. Now, this isn't a hit on you. I've been a leader for a long time. And so this passage has spoken to me for all the years that I've been a pastor. I've recognized it sometime from childhood memories, quite honestly, the role that a church can play and the role that leaders play, because they make decisions on how easy it is for kids to get in a position to be blessed by Jesus. Do you realize it's possible to make decisions, not intentionally, nobody's hard-hearted, but it's possible to make decisions that get in the way of kids? Another obstacle, gifted people who don't use their gifts to help kids. You may be sitting here and you have the capacity to make a difference in these 20 kids and the kids that they represented. Jesus took what he had, which was a lot, and he gave it to every kid that got in line. We've already talked about the gifts and the abilities, the experiences, the skill sets that you have. You are a masterpiece. And if he's made you a masterpiece that can make a difference with kids, my highest encouragement to you: start looking for ways that you can bless kids. Whether it's a part of the children's ministries, whether it's a part of the midweek services that you have here with Awana, whatever else that you have on the line. I'll tell you this. The people that are watching your kids today, I think they all watched them last week. I think they all watched them the week before. You know, this is my 8th out of 9 weeks here. You know what I think? They've watched them all 8 weeks. And they're online to do it next week. And you've been sitting here having to endure how long my messages are. What do you think about those people watching kids? They need all the help that they can get. And I want to say this to you. Jesus paid attention to his disciples and their response to those kids who were just looking to be touched by Jesus. And he's aware of us, and he is aware of you. Gifted people who don't use their gifts to help kids. You can change the stats that I just shared with you. And I'll say this, ministries who don't help parents help their kids. This is a D6 church. Crossroads is a D6 church. I talk the heritage, the blessing. There are so many stories at Crossroads in which you want to know why Crossroads grew to the level that it has. I personally think that one of the two biggest things was our absolute commitment to kids, both this age and the age of those who sit in these chairs. We were committed to that process. We didn't always do it great. We always wanted to. And we kept working at doing it better. Do you realize that in this church, some of you may not know this, but a prophetic element of this, co-founder of D6, that's across the country. Google it. Look at the walls. I hope that those still speak to you. I hope those are signs that make a statement that's accurate. Matt Markins was a part of the origination of D6. You talk about God using this church for somebody like Matt being out there that's impacted so many churches, including Crossroads, now including you. Bless kids, and God will use them to bless you. Taking every obstacle out of the way. Let's go to the second one. That'll be shorter. This is pretty simple. By providing a place for kids to meet Jesus. I love the fact that the foundations of this building, I know that you added this one, but the foundations of Rock Prairie in Tipton City, it's a school. Kids came here for decades. It was a place intended to come alongside of kids, and now it belongs to a church whose purpose for moving to Tipton, Indiana, to Tipton City, was to get closer to more people, to reach the people that are unreached, which includes kids. I love to study history and the context of today and to see the dots, that you realize that God put the dots on the page and He connects. If we'll connect those dots, we'll help to see, it'll help us see why we are where we are. And one of the dots on the page of Rock Prairie, this facility, has a school for its foundations. I think if that's prophetic, you provided a place, I would tell you this, spare nothing. Whatever it takes to make that an environment, a place that blesses kids. You have to add on, add on. If you have to enhance what's there, enhance what's there. Make it a place that blesses kids, where kids can meet Jesus. Providing a place for kids to meet Jesus. The third one. We can bless kids by creating a good environment to connect with Jesus. A good environment to connect with Jesus. That's what happened in that setting. All three of these things is what happened in Mark 10. The environment for them to connect. We must create an environment for, I believe this. This isn't about party time. This isn't about just having fun, though I will tell you this. As a kid, I remember the bored out of my mind Sunday school classes as much as I remember the good ones. Anybody ever been in a really boring kid's Sunday school class? Raise your hand. I'm telling you, I was in them. I was also in some fantastic ones. You know, to this day, one of my heroes, Georgie Ryan. I sat with Georgie Ryan most of the time as a kid through church because I had sat with her as a kid in her Sunday school classroom. I love that Georgie is still here, although I know she wants to be in heaven. I know she can't come to church. Georgie Ryan is my hero because she loved me as a kid and never made me wonder. Anytime I ever saw Georgie, I knew Georgie Ryan loved me. I don't remember those classes being boring. I just remember Georgie Ryan loving me. You can provide an environment first. Face-to-face look. Jesus reached down and picked up the kids. How do you think He reached down and picked up those kids? Did He do this? Were they facing out like this? Jesus picked up those kids and He got face-to-face with them. Do you know that Jesus wants a face-to-face encounter with your kids? He wants to make sure that there is an environment created that can give kids any age, these kids here on the front, students, obviously for you, that's why we're here now. But those 20 kids that were in front and all they represent, you bless kids by getting them in an environment where there is a face-to-face. Tell them who Jesus is. Make Jesus real to them. Love them in a way that you represent Jesus so they don't ever have to wonder how Jesus feels about them because they figured out about how you feel about them. Make that an environment that is face-to-face, a face-to-face look. We need an environment that is a hand-to-head touch. This isn't just about keeping your distance because we all know that kids carry lots of germs. I'm a grandparent, and it is highly common. This is usually the sequence because grandma is more hand-to-head than what grandpa is, although we still are together. But grandma plays that role, so the kids come in, and they got a sniffle, and then grandma gets it, and then grandpa gets it. Now, I don't know whether I'm getting it from the kids or from Becky, but even though that is a reality, there's something that happens with the human touch. Not somebody that's just keeping distance, but somebody who is right there. You know what? One of the champions of Crossroads, very few of you would know, Richard and Judy Sciarrafa. They taught, I should have clarified this, but I think around fourth grade, Becky, fourth graders. When Richard and Judy came to me, they newly married, and they'd had a history that needed to be forgiven, like all of us do. They had tried in two or three churches after working hard to put themselves in a position. They wanted to teach kids. When they came to me, you know, sometimes pastors have people come to them with an idea, and you're thinking, oh God, of all the ideas in the world, that's one of them. And you think, what do I do with this? And yet in my spirit, I thought, don't discount these people. Forget their heritage, their past, I should say. Listen to their heart. See some of the steps that they had worked so hard to get ready. Nobody would use them. I got to tell you, I'm glad they chose not to use them because we got to use them. They became the fourth grade teachers for years and years. You couldn't have a kid could not walk into their Sunday school class for that year and walk out without a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. They've had kids do the Lord all the time. We had parents on the front end saying, can my kid cheat and go in as a third grader? We had parents who said, is it possible for them to flunk the fourth grade and stay with Richard and Judy? They loved the Sciarrafas. Sciarrafas had them at home. They were our first husband-wife tag team teachers. And they loved those kids. They went to some of their events. They invited them to their home. There was a personal touch. Jesus picked them up. Hand-to-head connection. And if we're going to provide an environment for kids to beat the odds, hand to head. And then the last one, heart-to-heart talk. A place not only where they are made aware of Jesus, not only a place where they can be hand-to-head touched, but heart-to-heart talk. You actually need people who believe that God talks to kids. You actually need people who believe that God wants to bless kids, that something can happen in that environment. You need the Elis who will come alongside of the Samuels and who will, after the child stirs them a couple of times, says, I think something unusual is happening to me. And Samuel recognizes, you know what? It could be the Lord. Tell him you're listening. Samuel believed it could be the Lord. And it was. Do you believe that God can talk to these 20 kids? I do. I think you do too. With the fights that they're fighting in this day, don't you hope he does? So those parents who came up with the babies today, they got a monumental task. The walls say that they're part of a church that's D6. Part of the role of D6 is that the church comes alongside of the parents and makes them spiritual champions. It doesn't all happen back there. But we come along and support back there what's happening in the home. So, conclusion. What would Jesus say to you right now about your role in blessing kids? Since he's all about blessing kids, what would he say about your present level of involvement? What would he say if he's got an opinion? He had an opinion with his best friends and he told them. And he got irritated. And this isn't about the emotions of Jesus with you now. Just be honest. The difference you can make, are you making it? Parents, are you willing to believe that Jesus wants to bless your kids and that you are the primary influencer? They're watching you. They're watching you. And there is an undeniable statistical impact of parents on kids, of dads on kids. What would he say to you? One last. Some of you might say, I don't have any, you know, I'm just not good with kids. And I will say this, if you're not good with kids, then keep your distance. Because they have receptors that pick up on that. You know what some of you can do? Here will be proof in the pudding that you don't have to be a pastor to talk about giving. I'll walk out of here deeply caring about what happens after I'm gone. It has nothing. You don't have to wonder for me. So why is he talking about the money? Many of you obviously are faithful tithers to this church. I don't have a clue who is and who isn't. For those of you who aren't, make sure that you understand that your mandate to give by God and your capacity to give impacts decisions that are made about how to bless kids. You can play a role. Some of you may be in a position where you could go to the leadership team and you could say, I want to give specifically to kids' ministries. I didn't ask for permission for that, but for you. You may be one that hiring can be made differently, programming can be impacted, because you have the capacity to give. Rock Prairie must be a place that blesses kids. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the clear demonstration that you gave to us with Jesus. He showed us so many things. But this story that you didn't want us to miss very clearly tells us what your attitude is towards kids and the extent that you'll go to bless them. Father, open the eyes of Rock Prairie. They have done so many good things. And I don't know, I'm not here to judge the job that they're doing. I sure see some really good kids that came up here on this platform. I saw some young babies that'll be on a platform someday. So the potential is here, and they had to do things right to get it to this point. But Lord, in the blessing, it demands their response to taking care of that blessing and being reminded that there are those that are unreached. Burden their hearts, God. I know you can do that. Give us your eyes, help us to see. Give us your ears, help us to hear. Give us your heart. Help us to feel what you feel. We pray it in Jesus' name.